Welcome to the One Thing Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Kokoska. You know, each one of us wants more. We want more out of our careers, our relationships, and our personal lives. At the same time, we want less. We want fewer distractions and less on our plate. Today, I've got the COO of Jefferson Awards, Mr. Frank McIntosh. Frank, welcome to the call.
Nice to be here. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. So tell us real quick a little bit about Jefferson Awards and what's the purpose of that company?
Well, we're a national organization founded in 1972 with the remaining founder, Sam Beard, still with us. Jackie Kennedy and Senator Robert Taft were also deeply involved in the early stages. They responded to Sam saying he thought this should be a Nobel Prize for public service and volunteerism. And in 1972, there was nothing of the sort. And Jackie apparently called him the next day and said, "Gee, Sam, I like that. I know Jack would like it. What can I do to help you?" And so that began the journey. And now 40 years later, our purpose really is to multiply and to be the biggest multiplier of volunteerism in public service in the country. We have programming that represents or recognizes the grassroots people doing, you know, ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And then, of course, we also recognize people that are very well known in the country. And in recent years, we have established student programming, largely in the high school and middle school area, where we're trying to create a culture of public service and volunteerism within them so that as they grow and take their place in the world, that will become part of what they do. So that's essentially what we're about. We're in about 75 communities around the country. We have what we call leadership communities, and that's where our student programming also exists, and they're in about 14 communities around the country, and we have staff in those locations, and that's pretty exciting organization.
So COO of Jefferson Awards, how have the principles of the One Thing changed your impact and the vision of your company?
Well, I tell you, it's interesting. The book kind of arrived at the right time because we're really, I guess I was brought on here to kind of shift the way we do business. And we've operated for 40 years or so under the banner of what I like to call a founder's model. And Sam, you know, has been able to run that very, very successfully. But now as we have spread organizationally around the country, we have people here, there, and elsewhere, and lots of different expectations and new goals and new objectives, really a different model needs to be instituted, and that I would like to refer to as a business model. And so really, in a founder's model, it's very, very entrepreneurial, and so things change rather rapidly, and multitasking is a way of life. I've never thought that was such a good idea personally, and of course, Gary and Jay point out in their book that's sort of like a cardinal sin. To multitask, and we really need to get more focus on what we're doing and break it down to the one thing. That's becoming a common phrase around our office and with our staff, and it is really helping quite a bit. So it's really serving as an opportunity for us to have a common language to talk about.
Fantastic. So how often do you guys use the focusing question at Jefferson Awards?
I personally, I can't tell you how somebody else is using it out in the fields or whatever necessarily. I know we talk about it a lot. And, I understand it very, you know, intuitively, and I'm asking it all the time, you know, of myself and with my executive staff here. Let's try to dig down. Let's get to where we need to be, and what's the process of going there. And I think that just that whole idea of having the big goal out there down the road someplace, and then breaking it down to 1 year and 1 month and 1 week. And people don't tend to do that, I don't think, naturally. Some people do, but more often than not, that's not the case. And that's the kind of cultural change I'm trying to bring to pass. So, it's a change. Culture takes a long time, and it's got to be a constant effort. And we're working on it. We're a work in progress. Let's say that.
All right. Good. So you just referenced the exercise of goal setting to the now. Have you completed that exercise? And if so, what was your takeaway, or your, what we call around here, your aha from completing that exercise?
Well, yes, I had to figure out something. When I came in and I was assessing what was going on here, and then trying to say, well, what would I do about that? And intuitively, I had some ideas around it, and I was exercising those ideas. And then I got my hands on the book, and I had not seen it put that way. I'm used to kind of breaking things down, but this was what I liked about it is it gave you a format that you could look at and you could not only use for yourself but for others, and it was understandable, and it forced you to think. It forced you to think about really deeply about where you are, where you're going to be a month from now. People don't usually ask that question. They might ask where you're going to be next week and the week after, but a month from now or 6 months from now, I don't think that gets asked as often as it ought to. And so this really, I think just the whole idea of getting a grasp on what you have to do within the hour, within the day, and that to prioritize your day, it is so easy to lose that. And when you've got a lot of things coming at you, I'm not sure this was an aha as much as it was a, you better pay attention to this.
Right. So we all know that success is sequential, not simultaneous.
Right.
And that goal setting to the now exercise allows you to visualize, well, what does it look like someday? Then you work it backward. What's the one thing I have to accomplish within the next 5 years as it relates to my someday goal, such that by doing it, everything else would be easier or unnecessary? And for the benefit of our listeners, then you bring it down to 3 years. What's the one thing you have to accomplish in the next 3 years, such that by doing that, everything would be easier or unnecessary as it relates to the accomplishment of the five-year task? Then you bring it down to a year, then 6 months, then 1 month, then 1 week. Then finally you get to what's the one thing I can do right now, such as by doing it. Everything else will be easier or unnecessary as it relates to that one-month goal, as it relates to the six-month goal. And it's built sequentially, not simultaneously, because it's one thing at a time, not everything at once. So congratulations on understanding that core principle of the book. And very quickly, what other strategies do you use to identify these, what Gary refers to in the book, the dominoes that exist in your world?
Well, I think that we have to take a look at the why. It's a question from my point of view that doesn't get asked enough. And I am very important, that's a very important thing to me. Why are we doing what we're doing? I'm very committed to that, and I'm not afraid to fail. I believe you've got to fail if you're going to succeed, because if you're not, you're not really testing the waters very well, and you're not challenging, traditional methods, and you're not going to achieve superior results unless you do. Because you're always going to hit walls along the way. And I think it kind of goes back to some of the other principles that Gary talks about, and one of them is fundamentals, understanding the fundamentals of your business and understanding it in a way that you know all the pieces of the puzzle as you're building up. And when you do know that, and you hit a wall for whatever reason it may be, you have the mechanism within you to look at that, and because you understand it so completely, to be able to do something about it. You know, why is this happening, and then what can I do about it? And you can challenge yourself, and you begin to see things differently because you understand it so completely. And many people, if not most people, like to just skip all those things. They want to go and become the CFO before they've ever balanced the checkbook. And you know, I mean, I'm exaggerating, but it's you know, you see it all the time. And I really believe very firmly that, you know, that's the way I think that whole idea around fundamentals is so lost in our society today, that if we can recapture it and apply it, we are going to be able to knock down dominoes a lot faster and a lot easier, simply because we have that knowledge base that we can use to engage our creativity. And I believe the more you do that, it's like if you're a public speaker, you probably may have started off stammering, like, you know. But the more you did it, the better you got at it, particularly if you paid attention to what you were doing. And you get better and better at it by doing it. Well, but I think the same is true with asking the question why, with taking those fundamentals and pushing yourself to a different level of thinking. And so the more you do that, the more naturally it becomes to you to do it, and you do it better.
Perfect, and very well said. So Gary and Jay, in the book, they talk about being open to accountability. So what does being open to accountability mean to you?
Well, to me it means this. I'm 100% responsible for my own success. No one else has that responsibility. And so if you accept that as your guiding light, then you're open to just about anything. And I will tell you, every person I've ever hired over the years has had a chance to sit down with me at some point very early in their career, and I would talk about philosophy with them. And one of the philosophies I talk about is that I am not at all responsible for their success. I'm only responsible for providing them with an atmosphere in which they can succeed and the tools through which to do it. And it's up to them 100% to be responsible for their success, which means that you have to own what you do, and you have to be accountable for it. And if you make a mistake, you have to admit it and correct it and you know, move on, learn from it, et cetera. And if you don't understand something, it's your responsibility to say, I don't understand that. Tell me, you know, again, what does that mean? And so that you have clarity about what you're doing and how you do it, and then against this accountability idea is the capacity to actually get it done.
Absolutely. You know, Gary has a saying, and I just love the saying. He says, you know, the best part about your job is that it's your job. Meaning he instills that responsibility and ownership of the position with the individual immediately. Now, also, Gary and Jay, they outlined three commitments within the book. Now, what are the greatest challenges in holding those commitments from your perspective?
Well, I just talked about accountability, and I brought in the idea of fundamentals and how important that is. So that, to me, is very hard to get across to a young person in particular. They don't get it. They just think that I went to thus and so school, I'm very smart. I don't need to know that. Okay, well, you're not going to work it here then. But getting that across to them is extremely difficult, and you have to stay with it, and you have to stay on top of it. But at any rate, if you don't have purpose, you can't achieve much of anything. Entrepreneurial activity is great. But purpose provides for the long haul, and it's with purpose that you can get up every day and say, I have purpose, I can do this, I can move on, I believe in what I'm doing, all of those things. And it also, I think, is very much a close cousin to a the idea of fundamentals, and so that's you know, also I think that's a little easier. People get that, but getting people to understand that these things are real, and that real achievement in life is dictated by their commitment to fundamentals, and being purposeful and thinking outside the box. And finally, being 100% accountable for their own success. These things, when you have to take them as a whole. You can't just do one of those commitments. You have to do them all. And getting people to understand that, and getting people to practice it and do it, takes time, because I don't think in many instances it's been taught to them. Certainly not taught to them in their business schools, right? And so when they're on the job and now you're expecting these kinds of things, you've got to have an atmosphere that suggests that this is important. I'm going to keep talking about it, and I'm going to be looking at you to see if you're doing it.
Fantastic. So inspect what you expect. I love it. So what are your parting thoughts and words of wisdom for our listeners?
Here's the biggest one, I'd say. If you haven't got your hands on this book, go get one and read it and then reread it and then talk about it. We have a young person on our staff, not all that young, but young enough, and he asked me if I could spend some time mentoring with him, and I said I would, but only if we could use the one thing as our method of guidance, and he of course agreed to that. And so we've been, charging through the book and talking about the concepts and trying to get into them deeper and deeper, so that he has this understanding. And I can see already in his work results of much better than he was before, and he did okay before, but he's reaching new levels, and I think part of it is because he's beginning to understand why. And I don't think you could ever be successful, totally successful, until you know why you are. And I think the one thing is one of those books that will help you to answer a lot of those questions for yourself.
Fantastic. Frank McIntosh, everyone, COO of Jefferson Awards, thank you so much for your time today. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Be sure to check out theonething.com to learn about training events and our coaching programs and participate in the One Thing movement. Until next time, be powerful, be productive, and be on purpose. Thank you again.